on the KSRO Liveline award-winning global journalist Christiane Amanpour. Good morning, Christiane.
Good morning to you. Great to be with you.
Yes, and we are in the wine country of Sonoma County and glad to have you with us this morning.
One of these days I have to visit. I love the wine country. I love the idea of Sonoma. I've never visited for any, you know, real length of time, but I'd love to come.
Well, we were extremely good hosts, so plan your trip now, Christiane. Wanted to talk to you about your career and about mostly how Americans are viewed worldwide. Are we, as Americans, any better at being interested in and understanding international politics?
Well, look, I think definitely interested in. I think that the level of interest amongst Americans about what's going on around the world has been rising steadily, especially since 9/11, obviously, when it just, you know, it was unavoidable.
Yes.
And Americans needed to start trying to understand what the forces around the world are up to. So I do think that interest has steadily risen. And I think that there's a lot of material for people to search and to seek out. Now, about the politics, I think that's very difficult because the U.S. administration, and it doesn't matter which one, but through the history of certainly the last 30 years that I've been covering wars and things since the very late 80s, it's hard because there doesn't seem to be a consistent U.S. policy. It depends on which administration is in power and what they decide is the policy of their party or the national security imperative at the time. So you constantly feel this sort of whiplash about Middle East policy or policy towards Russia or, you know, what's going on in other parts of the world. So I think it's very difficult, unlike in many European countries where there's basically a civil service, a foreign service that deals with foreign policy, which is pretty much a consistent foreign policy. I found that it's, you know, quite up and down, the policy in the United States towards the rest of the world.
And what's the downside of that lack of a consistent policy?
Well, I think the downside is that often policies become sort of almost vanity projects. What I mean is that, you know, a certain ideological bent could be in power and in the ascendancy in the United States at a certain time, and you look at a certain issue through that political, ideological lens, rather than consistently look at it through what is best for the United States of America as the world's only superpower, as the world's most powerful military, its most dominant economy, and frankly, its most dominant culture. The United States heads and leads the world in all these three aspects. And the United States has had a 70-year since World War II leadership of its allies and sort of the policies that matter to the Western democratic free alliance. So I think that it's very important to focus on, is there ever going to be, for instance, a consistent policy towards the Middle East? Whether it's Iran, whether it's Israel, Palestine, whether it's Saudi Arabia, you know, and what is that policy? And don't we need a consistent policy in order to make that area as safe as it possibly can be? Is there a consistent policy towards, let's say, the Soviet Union, which is now Russia, but is going back to its old authoritarian ways? Is there a consistent policy on NATO and what constitutes defense and priorities for the alliance to work on? Is there a consistent policy on some of the immediate existential threats to the world and to the United States included, and that is climate change, for instance? There you see, perhaps that's one of the most interesting examples of how policy changes according to what administration is in power.
Right.
Let's say, you know, the Obama administration entered the world's climate change agreement at the Paris conference, and the Trump administration has pulled the U.S. out. And this has material impact and makes a material difference to the safety, security, and prosperity of the world and, therefore, of the United States.
Let's talk about the president. Donald Trump has been in office for over 2 years now. Christiane, how does the global community perceive him, and has that opinion changed over the last 2 years?
Well, it depends on which part of the global sort of opinion you're looking at. There are countries that really approve of what he's doing and that highly support Donald Trump. Many of those, but not all of them, are traditional sort of adversarial countries. Many, many traditional allies of the United States, let's just take Europe, for instance, which is the U.S. biggest trading partner and its biggest and longest alliance, they're having a hard time dealing with the current administration because they feel that, again, there's an inconsistency that comes out of the White House and that there is a disregard for alliances and them in particular. As you know, President Trump has often called on the breakup of the EU, the European Union.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't go down well because the European Union was formed after World War II to make sure wars never erupted on the continent of Europe again, after the bitter experience of World War I, World War II, etc. And peace has been kept on the continent, and the U.S. has been an integral part of helping that, of course. They're very concerned in the more immediate term about the Iran nuclear deal, which not only Europe, but also Russia, China, you know, and many other countries and it signed on to and is enshrined in a United Nations resolution. They're very concerned that by pulling out of that deal, that may have a negative impact in terms of security, in terms of what Iran might do on the nuclear front, in terms of how it will affect them. So those issues are quite difficult. And then, of course, you know, when I talk about alliances, the whole NATO commitment. Nobody's quite sure just how deep and lasting President Trump's commitment to NATO is. And they point out in NATO and in Europe, in this alliance, that the only time NATO's Article 5 was ever called up was after 9/11. And that's when NATO allies came to the defense of the United States.
Yes.
So they're a little bit peeved that the United States may sound often in you know, declarations coming from the White House, from the president, that it's not 100%, you know, committed to its allies in matters of collective defense. So those are some of the issues. And then, of course, many allies are concerned, and people on the ground, I'm not just talking about governments now, about what appears to be a lessening of America's traditional upholding of human rights and democracy and freedoms of the press, etc., that seems to be happening in the United States right now, and then having a sort of a blowback effect around the world, and in fact encouraging regimes around the world to copy the United States. In other words, if people see the U.S. president, you know, denigrating a free press, well, then they will do that as well, denigrating democratic and human rights and various other pillars,
right.
Then they will seek that permissive environment to do that as well. So those are some of the issues that I think is most obvious right now.
And one more question for you, Christiane. And 2020 next year, of course, an election year for us, and also the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in the U.S. Your thoughts about a woman taking the top spot next time around?
Well, look, I've been on record publicly and privately. It is absolutely crazy that the United States is one of the last of the Western democracies to have managed to get a woman at the highest position of power. We've had two female prime ministers. They are heads of government here in the United Kingdom. All over Europe, you see in many, many countries, heads of government and heads of state, even in parts of the Islamic world, as you know, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan,
yes.
In India, which was not that this was Islamic at the time, but nonetheless, in many, many other parts of the world, women have achieved the pinnacle of elective office. So yes, of course, I would like to see a strong, powerful woman as president of the United States, but also I'd like to see a person who is capable of deep leadership and capable of consensus building and compromise and looking after the facts that are so divisive right now and trying to ameliorate the divisiveness in society, whether it's about inequality of opportunity in every aspect, and just basic sort of, you know, human security as well as just national and defense security.
A pleasure having you with us this morning, Christiane. Thanks for taking the time, and let us know when you're headed to the wine country.
It's my pleasure, and I certainly will.
That is Christiane Amanpour. You know her, of course, from CNN, from PBS and ABC and many other news agencies also over the last 30 years.